Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This morning, let's take just a few minutes from this text and look at this truth, this thought, the living sacrifice. The living sacrifice. Or we could say it this way, living sacrificially. Living sacrificially. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Father, our hearts have already been blessed, as it has already been mentioned, through fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ, through good, godly music that points all attention to the one that deserves it most, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we're thankful for the power of your word and the power of your spirit. We thank you for this church and this church family, this pastor and his family. I'm thankful for Pastor White and his love for your word, his love for you. I'm thankful for the influence he's had on my boys and our family. Father, it's just been a good time already in your house. And Father, at this time we pray again for the power of your word and the power of your spirit, that you would do something spiritual in our midst. Father, I publicly recognize that I need you. And I pray for help this morning, discernment to say what you would have me to say. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever felt this way about a Bible verse where you think, you know, I have a pretty good handle on that verse, only to find out that we haven't even scratched the surface of that Bible verse? I've been there many times, and it reminds me of a story of two men that were construction workers. And they were on the construction site, and they were arguing, bickering, fighting over who was the most spiritual. The fact of the matter was that neither of them were very spiritual at all. They weren't very religious even. And yet they were fighting over who was the most religious. One of them said to the other, I bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer. And the other one said, I do, and I'll bet you $10 that I can quote it. The other one said, fine, I want to hear this. And so he began, and this is what he said. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, just when you think that's bad, like, boy, that guy didn't know the Lord's Prayer at all. The other guy looked him square in the eye and said, oh, man, I didn't think you knew it. And he gave him $10. The fact of the matter is, both of them did not know the Lord's Prayer, right? I've been there. Again, have you ever felt, man, I have a pretty good handle on this verse, only to find out that I haven't even really scratched the surface? Listen, I want you to know that every time I look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it seems like the Lord convicts me about something. The Lord shows me something. He reveals something. And, of course, we know why that is. It's because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. And so this morning, let's look at the living sacrifice, or living sacrificially. And so let's look at, first of all, I want to give you 4 points this morning, and we'll be as brief as we possibly can, but we want to dissect this scripture as thoroughly as we possibly can as well. But let's start with this. Number one, the meaning of the living sacrifice. The meaning. What is the essence of the living sacrifice? What is this all about, this living sacrifice? Well, from this text, I want you to see two aspects of the living sacrifice. I want you to see, first of all, that it is a consecrated sacrifice. And secondly, I want you to see that it is a continual sacrifice. First of all, it is a consecrated sacrifice. Notice with me, again, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is this sacrifice to be like? Notice, holy. What is that about? Well, it goes on to tell us, acceptable unto God. Now, we could speak for a year of Sundays on holiness. I mean, to dissect holiness would take a long time. But in this context, holiness is in relation to the Old Testament sacrifice. In other words, we know this, we're familiar with this. In the Old Testament, they were to bring their very best as a sacrifice. They were to bring a lamb without blemish and without spot. By the way, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It is a wonderful picture, and it was to be a wonderful picture of our spotless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, and the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ didn't sin one time. He went to the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world, that we can have a home in heaven and our sins forgiven, because He was that perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. And so that was the picture. And so in the Old Testament, when they brought a lamb or they brought an animal to sacrifice, here's the point. It was to be their very best. It wasn't to be lame. It was to be their very best. It was the best that they had. And so it causes us, as we look at this text, to ask the question this morning, am I presenting to God my very best? Am I, as a husband, being and providing to my family the very best husband that I can be, the very best father that I can be? Ladies, are you the very best wife, the very best mother? Teenagers, are you the very best child to your parents? Are you the best at work? Am I presenting my best to the Lord Jesus Christ? A missionary in India once questioned a woman who threw one of her babies into the river to their false gods. Threw a healthy baby boy into the river for their false gods. The missionary questioned them on that. And she thought, because she had two children, one was very sickly, one was very healthy, this woman thought that the question was, why did I throw my best child into? Can you imagine this? This is what religion does. This is what false gods, this is what idolatry does. And so, not understanding the question, she looked at the missionary and she said, oh, we only give our gods the very best. That's convicting to us. Are we presenting ourselves as our very best to the Lord? And so it is a consecrated sacrifice. But then secondly, and I want you to see this, I think this is very important for us to see, not only is it consecrated, it is continual. Notice again verse number 1. It says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And here's the point. This living sacrifice is sacrificial living. What's my point? My point is this. This is not a one-time event. It is an ongoing process. Sometimes I think that those of us that had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, we think to ourselves, you know, there was a time in my life that I went forward in a service and I gave my life to the Lord. And don't get me wrong, I think every Christian ought to do that. I think every Christian ought to have an Acts 9:6 moment in their life. The moment that the Apostle Paul got saved, he got surrendered at the same time. He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? I think every believer ought to have an Acts 9:6 in their moment in their life. But listen, I think sometimes we feel this way. I went forward in a service one time, gave my life to the Lord, so therefore I can do this. I can check off Romans 12, 1 and 2. No, this is not a one-time event. This is a moment-by-moment process. This is not a moment in our life that we went to the altar. No, this is moment by moment altering our life. Let me use this illustration. Men, husbands, here this morning, you are not a good husband because there was a time in your life you went to the altar and said some vows. No, you're a good husband because moment by moment you're altering your life. You're serving your wife. You're sacrificing for your wife. That's what makes you a good husband. Not because you said some words one day at an altar. No, it's moment by moment altering your life. It's this. It's not saying, have I done this? Presented myself a living sacrifice. Have I done this? No, the question is this. Am I doing this? Again, the living sacrifice is sacrificial living. I like this illustration. It tells of a man by the name of Pastor Taylor Smith. Taylor Smith was appointed chaplain general to the British Army during World War I. And in one of his journals, this is what he wrote. "As soon as I awake each morning, I rise from bed at once. I dress promptly, I wash, I shave, I comb my hair, and then fully attired, wide awake and properly groomed, I go quietly to my study, and there before God Almighty and Christ my King, I humbly present myself as a loyal subject to my sovereign, ready and eager to be of service for him for the day." That's amazing to me. Think about that. He did that every day. And I want to say that more of us need to do that every day, but it's not enough to do it every day. It needs to be moment by moment. It's moment by moment saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." It's moment by moment kicking self off the throne room of our heart and putting the sovereign there where he rightly deserves to be. That is sacrificial living. If you put the two together, what is this sacrificial living? What is this living sacrifice all about? Well, it's consecrated. It's continual. When you put them together, this is what it is. It's moment by moment sacrificing what I want for what the sovereign wants. That's the sacrificial living. That is the living sacrifice, the meaning of the living sacrifice. And then secondly, I want you to think about this with me this morning as we look at Romans 12, 1 and 2 in its context. And rarely do we look at it in its context. I want you to consider this with me. Number two, the manifestation of the living sacrifice. What do you mean, Brother Bill? This is what I'm talking about. How do I know that I'm living sacrificially? How do I know that I am moment by moment presenting myself as a living sacrifice? Well, notice the context. I'll give you four quick, and I mean quick, things here this morning. First of all, we're selfless. Look at verse number 3. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." In other words, we are to think cautiously, seriously. This is sound, serious judgment on our part. "According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." In other words, one of the evidences that I am living sacrificially and I'm constantly presenting myself a living sacrifice is that I am constantly working on humility. And by the way, if we're to be honest with each other, that is something that the older we get, the more difficult it is. You would think it would get easier. I've said this many times. The older I get, the more selfish I realize I am. It doesn't get any better. It's just something even that I have to work on even more, tenaciously, as was said in Sunday school. And so, am I selfless? And we could read verses 3 through 9 and look at that in depth. But skip down to verse number 10. Am I serving others? Number one, am I selfless? But secondly, am I serving others? Number 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. What does that mean, Brother Bill? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. I believe that's the blessed hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. That means don't be afraid to associate with men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. So again, Brother Bill, how do I know that I am presenting myself as a living sacrifice? How do I know that I'm moment by moment being all about sacrificial living? Number one, we're selfless. And that's a lifelong process. Number two, we're serving others more than ourselves. Number three, we are surrendered. Look at verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. What does that mean? Provide things honest. It means to do what's honorable in the sight of all men. Here's the point. When we are wronged, here's how we know we're living sacrificially. when we're wronged, we do this instead of this. That's difficult to do, isn't it? It sure is. That's very difficult to do. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. By the way, I'll stop and say this about that. I believe, Pastor White, that one of the great sins of the church today is bitterness. I believe that is right up there in the top five. Someone at some time did something to me, and I just haven't forgiven them. Every time I come into the church house, there is this cloud of bitterness, unforgiveness, that is with me wherever I go. It's very difficult, yea, verily impossible, to live sacrificially if we can't forgive those who have injured and insulted us. And so we keep reading. It is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I don't believe that means that if you do something nice to someone that hurts you, that just will burn them up. That'll make them mad. That's our motive for being nice. No, I don't think that's what that's all about at all. I think that if your enemy's fire goes out, you take some coals to him so he can start another fire. That's what I think that's talking about. I might be wrong. When we'll get to heaven, we'll find out. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So, Brother Bill, what are the evidences that I am living sacrificially? I'm selfless, I'm serving others, I'm surrendering when I'm wronged, and then one more. And by the way, the Bible is filled. We could give a list of 1,000 things. I'm just giving you four. Number four, we're submissive. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, how do you submit to God? One of the ways you submit to God is by submitting to the authority that God has placed over you. That's how you submit to God. Because God is the one that has ordained the authority over us. And so we submit to God by submitting to those that are put in authority over us. And so, where does that leave us? By the way, where does that leave us in regard to the one thing God has left for us to do on this earth, the Great Commission? Listen, are you really submissive? People say, well, I think I'd be willing to go to the other side of the world and tell folks about Christ. Are you willing to go to the other side of the street and give someone a gospel tract? Amen or oh my. Are we really surrendered to go to the mission field if we're not surrendered to take a gospel tract to someone across the street? Where does that leave us? Well, submission is absolutely a necessity here. And so, what does it look like? What is the manifestation of the living sacrifice? Well, we're selfless, we're serving others, we're surrendering when we're wrong, we're submissive to the authority. But let me give it to you this very quickly. What does it look like? It looks like Jesus. That's what it looks like. Philippians chapter 2. And you don't need to turn there. You can study it on your own. But what is it? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And then what does it go on to say? He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is what it looks like. What does the living sacrifice look like? It looks like Jesus. That's what it looks like. The manifestation of the living sacrifice. The meaning, the manifestation, let me give this to you quickly. The menace. What is the menace? What is the enemy of the living sacrifice? In a word, it is this. Worldliness. In a word, it's worldliness. Now, I want to pause here for just a moment. And I want to just give my two cents about this. I grew up in a Christian home. I praise God for that. I heard preaching against worldliness all the time. Parents, pastor, youth pastor, Christian school teachers, my principal, my youth pastor, everywhere I turned, and I praise God for that. Amy grew up in a very similar situation. But my idea of worldliness was skewed. It was skewed. I would go to the mall and I would see someone that, just looked in my mind what a worldly person looks like. They were wearing all black and they would have some satanic rock and roll group on their t-shirt. They would have piercings all over their face. They would have tattoos all over their body. And I would look at them and I would say, well, as long as I don't look like them, I'm okay. The problem with that is that that individual most likely, I'm just saying most likely, was lost. Of course they're going to be worldly. They're not saved. And so what I found was, as I studied worldliness on my own, is that the warning for worldliness is given to the saved, not the lost. And when you look at the different verses on worldliness, you come to find that worldliness is just a simple spiritual disease where a believer loves this world more than the next world. That's why there's warnings against worldliness in the Bible. Warnings like, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above. That's Colossians 3. Philippians chapter 3. For our citizenship, our conduct is in heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, more than treasures on earth. The warning for worldliness is given to you and I to basically say, listen, have a heart for heaven. Don't get distracted with things of this world. Things of this world will rob you of your joy. They'll rob you of your power, your influence. They'll rob you of your victory. They'll rob you of your eternal reward. Worldliness. And so with that in mind, let me give you just two quick things about the enemy or the menace to worldliness. Number one, the enemy to the living sacrifice, the enemy of the living sacrifice is this: when we choose what is acceptable to the world more than what is acceptable to the Word. Look with me at verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a change of mind. We need a change of mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then secondly, the enemy to the living sacrifice is this: when we allow the world to do our thinking for us more than the Word. Again, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so who determines your trends, your values, your philosophies, your fashions, your styles, your morals, your pursuits, your entertainment? Who determines that? Is it the Word or is it the world? Worldliness is the enemy of the living sacrifice. Years ago, I heard a story about a man that bought an expensive songbird, and that songbird stopped singing. It just started chirping. Just chirped. That's it, just chirped. He took it back to the pet store owner. He said, I want my money back. This bird doesn't sing beautifully anymore. And the pet store owner said, well, where did you keep it? He said, well, I kept it, of course, obviously in the cage, out on my back porch. I have an enclosed porch. And the pet store owner said, there's your problem. Your problem is that expensive songbird has picked up all of the common chirps of the common birds in your area. And so it doesn't sing anymore. And I thought about that when I read that story. I thought that's a perfect illustration of the average Christian who has stopped thinking this way and has basically been consumed thinking this way. We've lost our distinct sound. We've lost our distinct joy. We've lost our song because of worldliness, and all we do is chirp like the rest of the world. Worldliness. Worldliness is the enemy to the living sacrifice. And then I end with this, number four, the motivation for the living sacrifice. The motive for the living sacrifice. We talked about the meaning, the manifestation, the menace. Let's end with the motive. Notice with me verse number 1 of chapter 12. What does it say? It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, Pastor Richard Folger, my wife's pastor, growing up at the Mansfield Baptist Temple, always used to say, when you see a therefore in the Bible, look and see what it's there for. And here's what you'll find about the word therefore. The word therefore is a linking word. It links a line of logic. What do you mean, Brother Bill? It links that which comes before to that which comes after. And so when the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, we have to stop and we have to pause and we have to say, well, what comes before? What comes before? There's a lot of ways to discuss what comes before. We could go word by word, chapters 1 through chapters 11. But let me just give you something to think about. Notice with me at chapter 3. I'm going to ask you to turn to chapter 3 and verse 20. Most of you know that you find the Romans road to heaven between chapters 1 and chapters 11 of Romans. And notice with me, Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, we see the therefore of sin. The therefore of sin. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Here's what we find. We find that you and I are on our way to a devil's hell, and no amount of good deeds, no amount of good works can overset or turn over the good, the bad that we've done. No amount of good can offset the bad that we've done. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, even if you obey the good works of the law, you're not going to be justified in His sight. The therefore of sin. Notice with me the therefore of salvation, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen to that. You and I were on our way to a devil's hell. Jesus Christ came to this earth and He took our sin on the cross of Calvary. He died. He was buried. He rose again victorious over sin and death and the devil. And if we put our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, we can be saved. The therefore of salvation. And if that's not enough, notice with me number 3, the therefore of security. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Brother Holland said it in Sunday school. Jesus Christ not only died for the sins of our past, He died for the sins of our future. And listen, if there's nothing that we can do to obtain our salvation, there's nothing that we can do to keep it. It is grace and grace alone. And it's not, it's like God gave us salvation. And if that weren't enough, He gave us security, eternal security. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now listen, church family, this morning, when you take into consideration the therefore of sin and the therefore of salvation and the therefore of security, then we come to the therefore of sacrifice. And what is the sacrifice? Here it is. When we take into consideration all that God has done for us, is it not just our reasonable service to be presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, again, which is just our reasonable service? The motive for the living sacrifice. Years ago, there was a very wealthy British man that came to the United States to observe America. It was during the days of the Old West, and he was going from town to town to town, just observing. He was, again, very wealthy. He had the money to do so. And he came upon something that, though they had in his country, he had never observed before, and it was a slave auction. And he came upon this slave auction. He had never seen it before, never witnessed it before, and he just stood in the back, and he just witnessed what was going on. After a few things took place, there was a young teenage girl brought to the platform and people started bidding on her. This man from England observed and noticed that in the crowd bidding on this young lady was a bunch of evil, wicked, vile men. And this man could not stomach those men bidding on her. And so he began to bid. And he won the bid. He went down and And the young lady was presented to him, and he took her by the hand, and she spit upon him. And she kicked at him. And he ignored it, and he grabbed her by the hand, and they begin to walk, and they walk up one street and down another street, and he was looking for a particular building, and he found it after a few minutes, and he said to the young lady, "Just stand here, I'll be right back." She thought that was odd, but he went inside. 20 minutes later, he came out, and he presented her with her papers of freedom. He said, "Here, you are free to go." She began to cry. She said, "I don't understand. You bought me to let me be free?" He said, "Yes, that's right." She said, "Wait a second. Let me get this straight. You bought me to set me free." She said, "Yes. Here's your papers. You're free to go." She fell down on her knees and she began to weep. And she said this to him, "Because you bought me to set me free, now all I want to do for the rest of my life is serve you." Church family, this morning, isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us? He bought us so that we could be free, spiritually free. And what is our response? What is our motive? Our motive is, because you bought me to set me free, all I want to do is serve you for the rest of my life. All I want to do is, moment by moment, be presenting my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service.